Hornbill Coolina. Introduction. The Hornbill Coolina, or Cattle Raid of Cooley, is one of the most remarkable mythological tales in the Irish language, and one of the greatest epics in the world. It was recorded in the Book of Leinster, which is the oldest surviving manuscript written entirely in the Irish language. The Book of Leinster dates to the 12th century and is now kept in the Long Room, Trinity College Library, Dublin. The manuscript was originally known as Leborna nu Cung Bola, meaning Book of Nuchovel, now Uchovel, County Leash. It was named after a monastic settlement in the area and was found at Uchovel in the 14th century. Pillow Talk. One night Queen Maeve and her husband Alil were lying in bed talking about all their riches. The conversation turned to an argument when Alil claimed he was wealthier than Maeve. "I don't think so, Alil," laughed Maeve. "You forget that I was the daughter of the High King of Ireland. I had as many jewels, warriors and precious things as I wanted before I met you. To this day, I am richer than you." "I think not, Maeve. You'll have to prove it," answered Alil. Nothing would do except to gather all of their most impressive belongings in two great piles and compare them. There were great golden jewels, ornaments of silver encrusted with precious stones, the most beautifully embroidered clothes, and many fine animals. It seemed that they were equal in everything. But then Alil brought out his great white bull of Connacht, Fionnvannach. Maeve could see that Fionnvannach was far superior to any animal she owned, and she stormed away in a huff. In a fit of jealousy, she sent for her messenger, Machruth. "Do you know where I can find an animal to equal the white bull of Connacht?" she asked him. "As a matter of fact, I do," he replied. "Daramach Iachna of Ulster owns an exceptional bull, the brown bull of Cooley. There is no match for him in Ireland, not even Fionnvannach, the white bull of Connacht." Maeve was delighted by what she heard. Without wasting one more moment, she sent Machruth and some of his men with a message to Thyra. "Ask Thyra to lend me his brown bull of Cooley for 1 year. Tell him I shall reward him well with dozens of healthy heifers, gold, and anything else that he desires." Machruth visits Thyra. Machruth and his men raced across Ireland as quickly as their legs could carry them. All day they travelled, passing through Westmeath, Meath and Louth before reaching Thyra's great hall at Cooley, just as the sun was setting in the west. Thyra welcomed the worn warriors with open arms. "Come in, come in," he said. "You must be exhausted after your long journey. Have dinner with me by the fire and tell me the reason for your visit." Machruth explained to Thyra why Maeve wanted to borrow his brown bull for 1 year. "They've had an argument over which one of them is richer. She'll give you plenty of rewards in return for your troubles." Thyra laughed at the story and told Machruth that he would be more than happy to let Maeve have his brown bull for a year. Machruth went off to bed a happy man. Maeve would be very pleased with him. He thought that this was the easiest job he had ever been given. But he was in for a shock. After Machruth had gone to bed, Thyra overheard some of his men talking amongst themselves. They boasted how Maeve would have taken the brown bull by force anyway, even if Thyra hadn't agreed to lend it to her. At hearing this, Thyra was outraged. He marched straight to Machruth in a violent temper. "You have greatly insulted me, Mockroth," he shouted, "and in my own home too. Don't think that you or your Queen Maeve can fool me. You and your men will leave at once, and you will never have my brown bull." Mockroth was stunned by Dara's sudden outburst. He tried to talk to him, but there was no reasoning with him. Dara threw them out of his feasting hall, leaving Mockroth and his men no choice but to go home empty-handed. Maeve declares war and ignores Fidelma's prophecy. "What?" screamed Maeve when Mockroth told her all that had happened. Her rage had doubled in a flash. "Nobody refuses a request from the Queen of Cruachan," she declared. "Dara Mac Iachna will live to regret this. We shall take the brown bull of Cooley, whether he likes it or not." And so it was that Maeve declared war. She gathered a mighty army to march in Ulster so she could take the brown bull for herself. Maeve's prophetess tried to warn her that she would be defeated by Ulster, but Maeve paid no attention to her. She thought of nothing but gaining revenge on Dara for his insult. "You are mistaken," she said. "The men of Ulster are all under an old curse of pain that Maka put on them. They won't pose any threat to my great warriors. We march on Ulster today." Now, the leader of Maeve's army was an Ulster man named Fergus Mochrick. He was a great warrior, but was reluctant to fight against his countrymen. To buy some time, he decided to take the longer route to Ulster. While he was marching Maeve's army, he sent a warning message to Cuchulainn, Ulster's champion warrior. He alone was unaffected by the curse of Macha and prepared to defend Ulster single-handedly. Cuchulainn defends Ulster. After a number of days marching, Maeve's army ranks began to dwindle in numbers. Every day more men were found dead, and nobody seemed able to explain it. She summoned Fergus. "Tell me, Fergus," she said, "who is doing this to me? It is a bad omen, and we cannot afford to lose any more men." "That is an easy question to answer," replied Fergus. "Cuchulainn is behind these killings. He is the greatest warrior in all of Ireland, and we would do well to heed his warnings. If you like, I could talk to him on your behalf." Maeve let Fergus go to Cuchulainn and waited impatiently for his return. The two warriors met at midday, and Fergus listened as Cuchulainn explained his terms. "Tell your Queen Maeve," he said, "that if she agrees, she may send one of her warriors to me every day and I will fight him in single combat. She and her army may continue to march towards Ulster while the fights continue." The terms were accepted, and one by one, Maeve's strongest warriors were sent to face Cuchulainn. Every sunset seemed to bring Maeve closer to defeat, as none of her men could match Cuchulainn's skill. Her men were losing confidence quickly. Maeve had to make promises of gold and land, and even the hand of her daughter, Finnebar, to entice them to fight for her. Soon it was the turn of the great warrior Ferdia to face Cuchulainn. Now Ferdia and Cuchulainn were foster brothers, and neither of them wanted to fight. On the other hand, neither of them wanted to be dishonoured by refusing to fight. For 3 long days the pair fought bitterly. At sunset on each day, they lay down their weapons and embraced, each relieved that the other was still alive. They tended to each other's wounds throughout the night while they talked of their youth. When the sun rose on the fourth morning, they took up their arms once more. It was on this day that Cuchulainn was forced to kill his foster brother in self-defence, though he wept in despair as he held Ferdia's limp body in his arms. Maeve takes the brown bull of Cooley. Maeve was in more trouble now than she realised, for the men of Ulster were freed from Maca's curse, and a swarm of warriors charged at Maeve's army. Her army was devastated, but somehow Maeve managed to escape, taking the brown bull of Cooley with her. She drove the brown bull all the way to the Shannon and into Connacht, where it let out a great roar, daring Fionn Vannach, the white bull of Connacht, to challenge it. Enraged, Fionn Vannach charged at the brown bull of Cooley, and their long curled horns clashed, locking together in a furious contest of strength that would last until nightfall. The terrible sound of the bullfight echoed through the valleys as the bulls kicked and stabbed at each other all day. Finally, Fionn Vannach's strength ebbed away, and the brown bull seized the opportunity to deliver a final fatal ram of his horns into his heart. Thóin Bó Cúlainne ends. Fionn Vannach, the magnificent white bull of Connacht, was dead. Despite his severe injuries, the brown bull of Cooley made his way back to his home, staggering as he went. Upon reaching Cooley, the brown bull let out a final roar, collapsed, and died on his native land. So ends the Thóin Bó Cúlainne, the cattle raid of Cooley. Narrative note: Curse of Maca. Maca was the wife of a wealthy landowner in Ulster named Cruinneach. It was obvious that Maca was not from this world because she could run faster than any animal in Ireland. One day, when Maca was heavily pregnant, Cruinneach went to the races and left his wife at home to rest. He became very drunk and began to boast to anyone who would listen that his wife Maca could run faster than the king's horses. King Conor of Ulster heard Cruinneach and said to him, "Prove it to me, or you will be put to death." Cruinneach had to sober up quickly and tell Maca that she had to race the king's horses. "But I am about to give birth," she exclaimed. "I can't run as fast as I normally could. We'll go to King Conor and explain it to him." Conor would not accept any excuses, so insulted was he by Cruinneach's remarks at the races. Maca appealed to the men of Ulster to persuade their king on her behalf, but not one man spoke out for her. Maca ran the race and easily won it, but she collapsed at the finishing line, dying, and gave birth to twins. She cursed the men of Ulster with her dying breath. May the men of Ulster suffer from the pangs of a woman in childbirth. In their hour of greatest need, she screamed. With that, she died. And this was the curse that fell on the men of Ulster as Maeve's army moved in to attack. Narrative note: Cuchulainn. Cuchulainn was the only one of Ulster's warriors not to be affected by Maca's curse. The reasons for this were that his father was the god Lugh. He was not entirely of this world, and at just 17, he was not yet a man. Maca's curse was for the men of Ulster.